So, Pastor, do you want this up here or down? Or do you like up or down? Or huh? Up is fine. Good. Well, praise the Lord. I'm sure Pastor Ken's going to point out Pastor Sharon, but I'm going to point her out right now. Pastor Sharon Parsley, woman of God, prophetess, is in the house. God bless you, sister. Welcome home. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Ken and Sharon, we're here because of Pastor Ken and Sharon having a vision for God's people to be more than they think they are and believing that God's people can be used by God even when they don't think they can. I came out of a really rough life, a divorce. My life looked shipwrecked. Looked like, you know, and my heart was for ministry. I wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to be a man of God. I wanted to be used by God. And I thought I was disqualified. But one day, God saw in his grace, put Pastor Ken and Sharon in my life. And their story of restoration, guess what it brought? Hope to my heart. And I stand here today, I believe, because God honored them through their commitment to him and showing a life that when you challenge the status quo and say, you know what, God can restore what man says can't be restored. God can put, his call is without repentance, I think you told me. And even though the system said at that time to my heart and in the words, you know, you are disqualified, I believe that there was an example in this couple that we were able to follow, and Gay and I were able to become the pastors of this house because of that. He brought hope to my heart, and then he's been in my life speaking and challenging me and causing me to realize that there is a gift inside of me. He was called me to preach one time, and God had already kind of prepared me, but the first time I preached, believe me, you guys would not want to have been there. I really didn't want to be there. I mean, literally, I think I was definitely not called at that moment to preach because people were literally like, oh, going, when is he going to be done? Because I didn't make sense to myself. I know I didn't make sense to anybody else. But then when God called me, he gave me the opportunity. I came in as El Grande the Clown, and I preached, be a fool for Christ. But the anointing came. The anointing came. Words just flowed out of my mouth like I never didn't even know where they came from. And thank you, Pastor Ken, for seeing something in a broken down vessel. You had the eyes of faith. Would you welcome Pastor Ken Parsley?
Wow. This is great to stand here before you once again. Couple of years since we've been to Church on the Move and been able to speak and share with you. And my heart is full to talk about lots of different things. How are you, Al?
Good.
It's good to see you, man. I just want to go through and interview all of you right now. Find out how the last couple of years have been. But I hope we'll have an opportunity to do that. Sharon and I will be here for the next 10 days. Just going to be hanging out with her sister Sally and Peggy, and so nice to have Sally and Bob and their grandchildren here today with us, and I could say that for all of you. I look out at your faces. Some of you I don't know by name yet, but if we get a chance to meet before the end of the day, I will. So I caught Pam's name over there. We need to, get acquainted before you leave today. So after I finish whatever I'm going to say, I hope you won't make a, rush for the door, but you'll come and get acquainted and let us have an opportunity to greet you. I wanted to say it's so nice to see James and Yesenia Hunter, who are here, coming back into the valley after about 6 years of being in Seattle and following the leading of the Lord. What a joy it is to be with them. And I've only had a brief greeting with them, and I'm planning on just spending some time hugging on them before I go back to Texas. And so nice to see Allie and Adrian as well, who came from up in the north around Bellingham area and are here this morning as well. We're so grateful for each one of you. All of you who are home folks, It's really good to see you. I would miss somebody if I just went through and tried to name everyone. I can't. So I just want you to know that we love you and thank God for the opportunity that we had of sharing for 16 years here in Yakima as the senior pastors of this church, and what a joy it has been for us to invest our lives in the kingdom in that way, along with others who have done the same. And so we're very appreciative of all that God has done in our lives. It is kingdom work. And I wanted to say how nice everything looks, what a good job Mike and Gay have been doing as we've been watching from afar on Facebook and in other ways. We find out stuff that's going on. And so we're very thankful for the ability to pass on the work of the ministry when it comes time for someone to step aside like it became for us. And we went to Austin, Texas with our children to begin a new church there. I really went to be Papa to the grandchildren. For those of you that don't know, Sharon and I have 6 children, and we have 22 grandchildren, half of which are in Austin with us. And so we've not been able to spend much time over the years because they're pastors, we're pastors, and you just don't get to go that much. So we've enjoyed having the time to hold our grandchildren on our knees, those at least who will sit on my knee. There are still some who won't, but they're learning, I think, to recognize my wonderful grandpa demeanor. All right. Right, Sarah? That's right. You're looking real cute today. Yeah, that's great. Well, I would like to talk about a lot of things because my heart is really full, and I've been thinking about so many wonderful experiences and memories that we've had as we've shared together, both those that were high spiritual times where God moved in power around these altars, people's lives. Well, hi there, Missy. People's lives were changed and transformed, including yours. And what a tremendous, tremendous investment it is in kingdom work. It's a wonderful thing. And you all are privileged to be a part of what God is doing in His kingdom. Whether you're here at Church on the Move and serving in this house or somewhere else, that God is using you and His kingdom is benefiting because of your investment in the kingdom. Everyone is important in that regard, and God calls us each one into that ministry. There have also been some really humorous things, which I really would like to just spend the morning talking to you about today. And you can probably tell a few things on me, but I've just got to tell one thing that has to do with Church on the Move. And I wish with all my heart that Josh Montgomery was up here while I tell this, but it will give you an opportunity to tease him from now until Jesus comes. You know what I'm going to tell? Yeah. So when we bought this building around 1997 or so, there were a lot of bushes and stuff around that had been growing up for a long time since the Baptists had planted them. And so we went through and chopped them all down and started afresh. And so we planted some beautiful rhododendrons along this side of the building. And so over the 12 years or so that we were in this building, they grew up and from little plants, like about this big, how rhododendrons are when you plant them, until they were, 5 or 6 feet wide, 5 feet high, having hundreds of blooms every year. And it was a wonderful spectacle. And every year I would go out and I would wonder at those wonderful flowers. And so I said to Josh one day, I said, "Josh, I've got some small plants out here in front of the church, and I want you to go out and trim them to about 18 inches across." And because they'd grown up quite large, and they're still out there right now, and you can go look at them. And so I went about my business, and one day he decided to go ahead and cut trim the bushes. Well, I was gone somewhere, I guess, and so he got a hold of some shears and he started down those row of rhododendrons, and he cut every rhododendron except one, which is still out there. And I came back And I looked, and my little bushes that I wanted to be small, and they were still growing out there. And the rhododendrons were sticking up like this, you know, just were just brooms sticking in the wind. And he got to the last one, and he said to himself, I wonder if I'm trimming the wrong bushes. Well, I mean, it was too humorous. You couldn't get upset about it. So I said, Josh, why don't you just go out there and tear up the rest of those roots. Take them out of the ground. And so today, if you go out there, there's one lovely rhododendron bush, which I'm sure is still blooming in the summertime. And there's some other lovely round bushes out there, which are, you know, they're way too big for my taste. But anyway, don't send Josh out there to trim them back, because you don't know what's going to happen when you finish. So anyway, I had a wonderful time. I think I will come down if that's okay. I can get it. I'm getting old, but I'm not that old. I did it well? All right, good. Well, let's turn in the scripture to Jeremiah chapter 9 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And when do I need to be done?
When you're done.
When I'm done. Okay, so if I see you guys start, you know, leaving, then I'll know I'm supposed to be finished by then. Yes, Brother Ken. Yeah, I always said we're not going to stop in time to beat the Baptist to lunch. That's right. So take plenty of time for the word, for worship, the presence of the Lord. That's right. That's what we're going to do today, too. Let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing. Sharon and I moved to Austin, as I said. We live in a small town outside of Austin called Dripping Springs, which is the town I wanted to live in when we moved there. And it's a beautiful little spot, little country town. And the church, One Chapel, is almost 2 years old now. And things are going very well. Ross and the other leaders are doing a great job. And Sharon and I do some pastoral care. And we do help with some of the discipling, the new folks. We lead a small group. But I don't get to preach very often. Which is okay. I would say that to say that I'm not very well oiled, if you know what I mean. So it may take me a while to get moving here this morning, but it's okay. Actually, we feel just as useful and inspired as we always did in the work of the kingdom, and it's wonderful to see so many new people coming to the Lord in the work of One Chapel there in Austin. Austin's a city, as you know, it's the capital city of Texas, and there's about 750,000 people in the city and the surrounding area, and there's some great churches there that have been there for many years, but there is room for more. And since One Chapel has started, there's probably a couple dozen other new churches that have started in Austin as well. And so there's plenty of room for people to come to the Lord, and as always, as it is here in this city, always those who need to know Jesus as their Savior. So it's great to be involved in God's work. It's kingdom work, whether here, in my own career, until it finished up as a senior pastor, and now as a helper in the work of the kingdom. It's just as important, just as valuable, and I want you to feel the same way as I speak to you today. So Jeremiah chapter 9... I want to talk to you today, and I'm really sorry that I didn't put the words on the screen today. I should have just, made time for that, but I didn't make time for it today, and I'm used to having my outline on the screen so you can see it as I go by, but I'll try to take it slow enough so that you can kind of get the gist of what I'm going to say. Basically, we're going to talk about three words that can change your life. Now, I like to think about simple terms. I like to think about things that I can get my mind around and be able to make an application to my life. Because, after all, if you're reading the Scripture and being taught the Scripture, then there needs to be something that can be applicable to what's going on in your life today. And so I certainly believe that this message, which I've never preached before, at least in its singular form. I want it to be something that will touch your life and will be applied to the daily things that you're going through, the tests, the trials, the issues, the problems that you are experiencing, as well as the joys and the overcoming victories that God gives you. So these three words are important words, and I believe that they will help you if you can understand what I'm going to say today about your personal life and existence here upon this earth and the value that you have in these particular words. So the three words are the word power, the word presence, and the word purpose. Power, presence, and purpose. So I'll just give you a moment to think about that. Power, presence, and purpose. So I want to talk about those three words. So whenever God comes and intersects in the affairs of humanity, whenever there is a heaven and earth exchange, like we were having here today, when we're worshiping and God is coming, the Holy Spirit is moving upon our hearts, and there's something that is happening in the lives of mankind, there is a response that is required of us. We can't just not have a response when God begins to move in the affairs of man. In worship, in prayer, in all different kinds of ways, God comes and intersects the life of human beings. Sometimes he comes in healing power. Sometimes he comes in convicting power. Sometimes he comes to inspire us and to motivate us into greater accomplishments for him. But whatever it is and whatever it is, there is a response that's required out of our own heart. No one of us encounters God in a real and genuine way without it affecting our life. Would you agree with that statement? If you encounter God in a genuine way, you are going to be affected in your life. Looking back to the New Testament church, the Acts church was so impacted by the new things that were happening to them that it changed everything they knew about God. Now, all of us have a fairly short experience. I might be, probably not, the old, but I could be, the oldest person in the room, except I know that Sally's here, so then... Anyway, many of us who have lived a long time, we've seen a lot of things happen in the lives of people and in the church. We've seen God come and intersect the life of humanity, and we know that there are life-changing experiences that happen. But none of us have ever experienced the tremendous change that took place from what was happening in the Old Testament up until Malachi, and then there were 400 years of silence when God kept quiet, and then the Messiah came and everything broke loose. He lived his life upon the earth. He went through his ministry of three and a half years, went to the cross, the Holy Spirit came, the apostles were launched out, and there was a tremendous change that happened in the New Testament church. And we see then the cross as the center point of history, that everything up to then was in preparation for that, and everything since then references back to it. I want to say that one more time. Everything that was prior to the cross pointed to it, and everything that's happened since the cross references back to the cross, and it is the change point. It is the PowerPoint, if you will, for all humanity, and the cross is the thing that made the difference in our lives. The power of the cross is a powerful thing in each of us. Now, I want to read these scriptures for you as a way of setting the stage for these three wonderful words that I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Now, if you do a little reading of the context around here, you'll find that Israel is basically in trouble, and there's a judgment spoken of in the various chapters and verses around here. But in the midst of this, as is often true in the prophets, there is this little light, a little beam of hope and expression of faith that's given through the words of the prophet. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That's the thing that we must come to today as a body of people. We must know him. If we do not know him, and we do not have a relationship with him, then we have spent our life wasted in the mass of humanity which is upon the world. If we do not find a place to know Christ, whom to know aright is life eternal, then we have spent our life wasted. We have many homeless people in Austin. We have some folks in the church who love to work with the homeless. Perhaps you are one of those. You enjoy helping people who are down and out. And there are literally hundreds of people who are homeless. There's a ministry that goes on under the bridge. It's called the Church Under the Bridge in Austin. And they feed every Sunday. And they have church every Sunday under the bridge. I don't know if it's the bridge that the bats fly out from under, but there's a lot of bats there too. And so these people minister to the homeless and try to help them to know who God is. But as you look at those people, some of them I intersect with because I'm in charge of pastoral care, and I intersect with some of those folks from time to time. And you look out over their life and their past, and they have spent their life basically as a waste. They have a precious life just like you. They have the same amount of time, the same amount of opportunity to know God. But they have made choices that cause their life to be wasted, and they cannot seemingly dig themselves out of that. And if they would only come to know Christ, if they would only come to know him, who is the one we must know, then they would have an opportunity to become whole and well and enjoy the fruits and blessings that God provides for us in this life. So, he who glories, let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for the second portion of our text today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. A few verses here, beginning at verse 18. I'm not going to preach on all these verses, I want you to know. I'm just reading them to give you a bit of a context, a bit of a basis for the ideas I want to share with you with these three important words. So beginning at verse 18 in 1 Corinthians 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? It's a rhetorical question, isn't it? A rhetorical question is what? A question to which the answer is obvious, right? So, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So many people are so bent upon learning everything they can, thinking that there is going to be some kind of inward satisfaction because they have become knowledgeable. But the knowledge of this world does not bring healing to the inner man. The knowledge of this world does not bring to us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one way in which we can know Him, and that is through His Word and through His Spirit and through opening our heart up to receive the knowledge of God which He gives us by the Holy Spirit. Hear that today. I encourage people to be educated. I think we should do the best that we can in life. However, we cannot depend upon those things which do not have the ability to give us the knowledge of Him. The proverb says, "Cease, my son, to hear instruction which causes to err from the words of knowledge." So we need to know Him. We need to know Jesus. And Jesus has made the wisdom of this world appear to be foolishness. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Some of you may still have a King James Bible, and in that one it says, "By the foolishness of preaching." Pastor Mike. And sometimes you feel that way. Sometimes, I have spent most Sundays since January 1st, 1966, doing some kind of preaching or teaching. That's a good long time. But I can tell you, even those of you that have heard me for 15 or 16 years, you probably don't remember what much I said. I don't even know if I remember it. That's right. We only know it if it happens to come out again, right? So we don't just take in the knowledge, the mental issues. We don't take in the words and then they just filter on through like they do water in a sink. But they have an effect upon us. This is the Word of God. This is the wisdom of God. This is the knowledge of God that we're talking about here. And as it comes into an intersection with your life, there is an effect which happens. Brother Moses, there is an effect which happens. And what we used to be, we are no longer, because the Word of God has had a powerful effect upon our life. It comes in, it doesn't stay up here, we don't memorize it all, we don't remember everything we said, but the Spirit and the Word bring life into us. And there is a transforming power which takes place. So, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, talking to you now, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty according to the flesh, Parsley's paraphrase, not many noble according to the flesh, are called, but God has chosen the foolishness of the things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame that which is mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised. God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. This helps us to get life in perspective. That's why I wanted to read this large portion of Scripture today, because it helps us get life in perspective. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, "He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So I was talking about the idea that the cross is the center point of history, and that since the cross, every man, every woman, every boy and every girl who would believe in this Christ became a part of God's eternal purpose. The last few years of our ministry here in Church on the Move, I talked a lot about God's eternal purpose. And most of you will remember that I used to draw that arc on the whiteboard. Big arc, cross in the middle of it. Then I would write stuff on it that no one could read. That's right, Barb. Because that became such an overarching idea to me, the eternal purpose of God and how each one of us have a place and a part in that eternal purpose. So before the cross, there was a limited knowledge of God in the world. There was a restrictive flow of information. We think about all the Old Testament, but really, that was just for the Jews. And basically, it was the Jews, the priests, and the prophets to whom God revealed himself, and only those who would join the Jewish people in their faith were allowed to know God at all. And to know him, they had to know him through the sacrifices and the processes that took place around that, and the priests, the prophets who spoke to the people for God. So the priests went this way, and the prophets went this way, and the people had to learn whatever they learned from them, and there was a limited knowledge only around the nation of Israel before the cross. But since the cross, there has been unlimited access. There is unrestricted communication. Which means that every one of you, no matter what your background, no matter what your past, no matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter how many hurts or faults you have the same right as I or any other person in this room or in the world for that matter to have an experience with God and communicate with him on a personal basis, and he begins to share himself with you. That is what we enjoy today since the cross. This is what allows these three important words to take place in our life: the power, the presence, and the purpose of God. Because he causes them to flow through every believer, everyone who is here today. Oh, there's a clock. Okay, good. Page one gone. All right. One down, three to go. All right. So it is the idea that I want to explore with you today, that his power and presence and purpose need to affect your daily life. I want you to just think about sitting in your living room right now, sitting in front of the television. Fox News is on. Who watches Fox News here? One, two, three. Three righteous people among such a crowd. I've moved into a new house. We've moved into a new house. And I didn't transfer over the cable. I just brought in the internet. And I've been having withdrawal pains. No Fox News. It's been really hard on me. So just think about... just think about sitting in your living room there, and your life is going on. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you make supper, you do something with the kids, you go to bed, you get up, and you do the same thing the next day. If we do that for so long without having an intersection with God, we lose the ability to understand how God wants to use these three words to your benefit. If you just go through the motions of life, you find that you lose perspective on the power of God, the presence of God, and the purpose of God in your life. So I would like each one of you today, no matter your age, no matter your habit patterns, I would like you to think about your life in relationship to these three words or these three ideas. How is the power, the presence, and the purpose of God affecting your life? And if it's not, why not? Because God, through the cross, has made it possible for His power, His presence, and His purpose to come through our lives and affect the world. All right, so let's talk about the power of God for just a moment, and I'll go through these very quickly. I've kind of given you the gist of the message now, so I want to give you something about each one of these words. The power of God is great. How many here today know about the power of God? The power of God is great. We are a believing bunch of people, are we not? We believe that God is powerful, and He is working in the affairs of men. And so as we think about our church experience, we think about what's going on in the city of Yakima or in the state of Washington or Texas, whatever the case may be, we think about the power of God. We don't see the display of the power of God as much as we would like to see. But God is still just as powerful as He has always been. Full of power. He had enough power to create. He had enough power to do the miracles of the Old Testament. He had enough power to do the mighty acts that caused the nation of Israel to become who they were. In the New Testament, He did signs and wonders through the faith of the apostles. He provided writings of the New Testament for gifts and ministries to flow out of His Holy Spirit into the lives of people just like you because they were just like you. And He gives those gifts and those ministries an opportunity to flow down into all of the people that you know. In the New Testament, His power is dispersed. There's another word I came across. I wanted to see if I could bring it back. Dispersed. It's not just dispersed, but rains down, flows through. I can't bring the word to mind right now, but it comes from God's Holy Spirit, and it moves through your life and is designed to touch everybody you come in contact with. The power of the living God is available for you to experience in your life. Each of us have that ability to help, to heal, to minister, to serve in many capacities. We have the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit of God bring His power into our being, and it moves out as though it were lightning from our fingers and touches the community where we live, and people are transformed by that power. 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 I want to talk about power. Because the power of God is in your life if you will receive it. Holy Spirit power. There's a couple of words that we're more familiar with about power. In the Greek, there's the word dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. Dunamis. Dunamis is the word for explosive power. Just like I kind of exploded right there. Boom! Start shouting. Power. Explosive power. Light a stick of dynamite. Dunamis. Boom. It's explosive power. And the Holy Spirit comes into our life with explosive power, which means force, miraculous power, ability, strength, and might. That word is used 123 times in the New Testament to describe God's power, His strength, His ability, and His coming to accomplish His work upon the earth. Power. I wonder if you would be willing to say it with me with some enthusiasm today. I wonder if you would be willing to say it like I said it. Would you, could you psych yourself up that far, Al? Could you get it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm going to say three. One, two, three is the next number. And then we're all going to say power together. Okay, ready? One, two, three, power! Yeah. Sorry, sweetie. Just don't mind me a bit. I'm just playing around up here. Woo! She probably hasn't heard Daddy shout that loud ever. That's right. Because Al is such a quiet guy. But it doesn't matter, loud or soft, power of God works through you if you will accept it. The power of God works through you. Acts 1:8, you shall receive, come on with me, power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the cross is the power of God. Ephesians 1:19, the exceeding greatness of His power to all who believe. So those are all dunamis words. Those are explosive power, force, ability, strength. And it indicates that God wants to bring His power into your life and through that power make a difference, transformation. The second word for power is the word exousia, Greek word, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia. And this word power is translated privilege, freedom, delegated influence, jurisdiction, right, or authority. So not only do you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, a possessor of the Holy Spirit upon the earth, not only do you have the ability to make a transformation explosion and have power work through your life in various signs, wonders, and miracles, but you also have been delegated authority. Jesus said, in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I think that's maybe dunamis, but I didn't look it up to see for sure. So, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, here's what Jesus said. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Okay, now in this verse, for you Bible students, we got the word authority, and we got the word power. The first one is exousia, delegated power, delegated authority. And the second one is the power or dunamis of the enemy. So whatever explosive power the enemy has, you have been delegated power to overcome it. How do you like that, Eric? That's good stuff, right? That's why it's good to once in a while use the Greek lexicon. You understand that the devil may be doing, you know, wreaking havoc upon the earth. But the fact of the matter is that you have been delegated by God authority over all, everybody say all, all the power of the enemy. Woo! I could dance. I could be happy right now. I could shout a little bit. Because no matter what the enemy brings against you, there is in your life a delegation of authority and power to override it and overcome it. It is the power of God which is available for you today in your life, tomorrow in your life, next Friday in your life, whenever you come up against the enemy and his wickedness, wherever it may be, you have already been delegated authority to have victory over it. Yes. Yes. Woo! All right, power of God. A lot more could be said about that, but we'll have to leave that for Pastor Mike. Second word is the presence of God. The presence of God. Now, we all like the presence of God. We hung around in it for an hour today. We sung songs. We prayed. We spoke in tongues. We enjoyed the presence of God moving and flowing among us. People were inspired to give exhortations or testimonies. God's work was being done in the midst of that time of worship. In the Old Testament, there was the presence of God focused upon the tabernacle. Without giving a history lesson, there was the tabernacle of Moses, there was the tabernacle of David, and there was the temple of Solomon, right? And each one of them had a presence of God which he initiated and which he carried forth under his own, as his own idea. And so the Ark of the Covenant was the place where the presence of God was felt and known. Sometimes it was on a mountain, and God would meet with someone on a mountain. Remember Elijah and the still small voice. Sometimes it would be in a cloud, like as they were going across the desert, cloud by day, fire by night, and the presence of God was there to comfort his people. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 31, as he's giving instructions about the tabernacle being built, he says to Moses regarding the Ark of the Covenant, "There I will meet with you." He said, "I want to meet with you there at that place." And that's the way it was throughout the whole Old Testament. God chose a place. He intersected himself with humanity, but in a very restricted way. God was the same. He was omnipresent, but he chose to display his presence sparingly. "There I will meet with you." That's how he did it. There. A man here, a woman there, a man here. "There I will meet with you." But in the New Testament, it's different. The presence of God is different. In John chapter 17, verse 22, Jesus said, if you haven't read this in a while, I encourage you to get your Bible out and read John 17, because he says here, "The glory," or the presence, "that you have given me, I have given them." Jesus said the presence of God, thank you, sweetie, I had one of those, it must have fell through the seat. Or Tim drank it, one or the other. So, I kind of wish you'd opened it before you brought it up here. What could be better? If you want some up, come and help yourself. The presence of God, the glory, the presence that you have given me, Jesus said, I have given them. And he's talking about you there. If you don't believe me, just read the whole chapter. In John chapter 14, if you want to look back to John chapter 14 for just a moment. Wonderful portion of scripture here that we must read together. Verse 12. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Have you read that verse in the past and you wondered how that was ever going to happen through you? Have you wondered, is that ever going to happen through me? Greater works? Listen as we read on. "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him." What did he say in Jeremiah as we first read today? The wise guy, he knows me. He knows me. "But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Believe that the presence of God comes into your life. It's not just the power of God. All of a sudden it hits you like a lightning bolt and you go, "Bow!" You know how that happens sometimes. Well, maybe you don't, but I do. I've kind of looked really weird a few times in my life when the presence of God would hit me. But the presence of God is just with you. With you. In you. He was with you, but now he's in you. And wherever you go, he goes. The presence or the glory of God is the indwelling Holy Spirit in all who believe. God has portioned off himself into your life. And he has made it possible for you to dwell in his presence, not like the Old Testament way, where it was just a special person, a prophet here, a person there, Moses here, Abraham there, but it's you. Dennis, it's you. It's you. The presence of God has come into your life. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that the temple of God, that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells within you? So the power of God is the explosive power, the delegated power, and the presence of God is the engine which drives it. If you're not experiencing the power of God in your life, I want to suggest to you that you are not nearly spending enough time in the presence of God. I'm not condemning you. I'm just giving you a little insight into, if you want the power of God to flow through you, then you've got to spend some time in the presence of God, who is already dwelling within you. Third and final thing, the purpose of God. I want to suggest to you today that the purpose of God upon the earth is love. I want to suggest that to you, love. Now, love has a whole bunch of Greek words in the Scripture, New Testament. We know about agape love, which is God's love. We know about phileo love, which is brotherly love. We know about eros kind of love, which is sexual love. We know what those words mean. But I want you to know that it all begins with agape. It all begins with God's love. You can't love without God. Truly, truly love. I know people in the world say they have love. But without God, I think it's something other than agape. It's something other than God's love. And of course, our verse is John 3:16. For God, come on, quote it with me, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love. God's purpose for you is love. You got some people in your life. You got some husbands and some wives and some children. You got some neighbors. You got people that you're touching. Those are the people that are your purpose. Those are the people that are your purpose. And you've got to take time to show love. You know, what do you wives think when the husband comes in the house and says, "Well, where's supper? I'm hungry." I know what you want to say to him. Get it yourself, you bloke. But if he has left the house that morning with a kiss, the tender embrace, gentle, "I love you," there's a lot better chance that when he comes home at night, the kitchen will be smelling like pork chops or spaghetti. Or whatever is your favorite. So, you guys need to learn that lesson. Love starts in the kitchen. The purpose of God is for you to show love. And you have some people in your life already to show love to. You have them. Some of them are sitting right by you. And you got to sit down across the table. Eric and Nancy are sitting right here, so I'll just use them. You got to sit down across the table. You got to look into each other's eyes. And you got to let love happen. She's not up for that conversation, she said. But I'm just telling you that you better make it happen, head of the house. Yeah. You got to sit down and you got to communicate love. This is not the eros I'm talking about. This is the agape I'm talking about. You got to share love. You got to look with love out of your eyes because it's the purpose of God in the earth. You're here to love. You're here to love. Now, I know we all like to be powerful people, and we like to, you know, be shooting firebrands from the end of our fingers. We like the power of God. But I want to tell you, long before you get to the power of God, you got to find out how to show the love of God. You got to show the love of God to mama and daddy and the kids and the uncles and aunts. You got to show the love of God. These three words can change your life today if you'll take them to heart. The power of God is available to you, and you can experience it through your life. You can have an effect. The presence of God is precious, and you need to tend it like you tend a garden. And the love of God, the purpose of God, is that you show love wherever you are. Let love words come out of your mouth. Let love actions be demonstrated on behalf of all those whom God gives you. Today, I'd like our instrumentalists to come. And I'd just like to take a minute. We've been here a while, and this is the Lord's Day, and I'm leaving town, so it doesn't really matter. So I'd just like to take a moment to pray for you. If you feel a deficit in the power of God, the presence of God, or the purpose of God in your life, I'd like to have a moment to pray with you. If you'd like to reignite the power of God, the presence of God, and the purpose of God in your life, I'd love for you to have a moment to pray with you. I won't take long, but I do want you to just stand to your feet right now. Is this okay, Pastor Mike? I just want you to stand up to your feet. Stephen, could you take this up for me, please? And I just want you to, if you have a deficit, if you need to reignite power, presence, or purpose, I just want you to come and stand on the green line. I just watched The Green Mile the other day. Great movie. I like it. So, come on, just walk up here. Just walk right up here and make an R. Because I just want to take a moment. I felt an impetus to do this before I came this morning. That even though I preached long, I just want to take. Come on, get in the line. You guys know what a line looks like? Line. Come on. Boop, boop. Move right forward here. Come on up here. There we go. Yeah, well, I thought there'd be a whole lot, so I just thought the green line would give us some guidance, but I just need one line because I'm just going to go by and pray for everybody. I just want to lay hands on you. You know, I've had such, yeah, thanks for helping me there, Pastor Mike. I've had such a part of your life. I feel in many ways like a father to you. And I want to just minister to you for a moment. I just want to minister to you for a moment. It's not my touch. Lord knows. I'm just a guy. I'm just an old guy to boot. But I want you to feel the touch of my hand upon you today because I want you to know how sincere I am about these three little words which can make a transformation in your life. Pastor, pastors, come and just pray together. I'm just going to go quick. Lord, you're gracious. You give grace. You've shown grace to this sweet couple by pouring out your love and mercy upon them. What a blessing they are today, and what a blessing they will be in days to come. Anoint them for the work ahead. May power, presence, and purpose fill their life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your guidance, your grace. We lay our hands upon this couple. They're sweet children. How lovely. I pray you'd move in their lives in a powerful way. Let them experience these three words in reality, day to day, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for my dear Lynette, a sweetheart, a lover of people. Pour out your love in her and through her. Make up the deficit today. Fill the hole. Let her know that she is whole.
Amen.
And that God's grace is fully upon her life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Pour out upon her, Holy Spirit.
Yes, Jesus.
Pour out upon her, in Jesus' name. Father, for James, minister to him. Let your love and compassion flow through him. He has a heart of compassion for people. Minister to him in Jesus' name. Thank you for Linda and Jay, their faithfulness and their love.
Amen.
How they've carried the burden when it wasn't theirs to carry, but how full of grace and mercy you've been. Lord, bless them. Give them the strength that they need to fulfill the purpose that you have for their lives, to love those children, to love their family, to love the church. Bless them, Lord. Use them in wonderful ways, as you have been doing, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your name. Ken, that's right, it's my own. I'm a good one. Father, here's my brother Ken. He needs your grace in his life. Reignite the fire and the passion for the power, the presence, and the purpose of God in his life. In Jesus' name. Break open the hurts of the past. Let them be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for my sister. What a sweet spirit. What an open and servant's heart she has. Thank you, Father, for the grace that she has bestowed upon others. Give her that grace too, in Jesus' name. Minister to Alvine today, Lord. Pour out your life through her. She has been a stalwart. She has been a woman who has stood in the gap. Along with Rick, they have been a blessing to many, many people. So I pray that would continue in the days ahead. Bless her, Lord. Touch her body in Jesus' name. A healing flow. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. This sweet young couple, Lord, this baby, we lay our hands upon them. Minister to them. Let the power and the presence and purpose of God come in their lives in a new way today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Reach back here to Roger, his family. Pour out upon them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. How we love your people. And how they have stood in difficult days, but they've stood faithful. Now they have this sweet and wonderful daughter who's coming along to follow in their example. Pray, Lord, a blessing on this family. An unusual provision that would come into their lives in a special way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Pour out your grace, because we need it so bad. And Lord, make us alive to your power, your presence, and your purpose, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Minister, Lord, to Pam, whose name I've learned today. Thank you for your love that emanates in her life. Been through difficulties, as she said, but Lord, you have been faithful to her, in Jesus' name. Refresh and renew her life, that she might find that for which she seeks. The peace of God passes all understanding, which keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for my brother today. I pray. This young man as well. Pour out your love and mercy on them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for Bill, for the thing that he has stood through and how he has remained faithful. I pray for healing in his body, Lord, that you would renew him day by day, and that healing would be his portion in Jesus' name. Thank you for his big heart.
Yes, God.
Thank you for his big heart, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
A lover of people.
Yes, God.
Because you've loved him so much.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Jesus' name. Father, for Dwayne, Lord, you brought him a difficult path. But he's at home, feels at home, loves home. Lord, I pray that you'd use him in these days of his life.
Amen.
To speak love to people, encourage them, bless them in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this young couple. How wonderful it is to have them eager, sitting in the front of the church, worshiping with all their hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd pour out your power, presence, and purpose in their life. May they sit across the table from one another. May they exchange words of love as they encourage and bless and edify one another in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Eric and Nancy. What a joy it is to see them blossom and bloom where they're planted. And Lord, we look ahead to the days that will come, and we expect great things. Great things. Great things. All arising out of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness, such an important thing in their lives. You've taught them faithfulness. Thank you, Father. Bless them in Jesus' name. Kura masara pasara baramana manta. Hora sarabasa karamana manta. These young men, Lord, they need you in their lives. Teach them about your power, about your presence, and about your purpose for their life, because it's great. The eternal purpose of God is for them, with them. Lord, we pray for Guillermo today. Pour your life out upon him. He too's walked a difficult path, but your grace is sufficient. Thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to him in a new way, a deeper way.
That's right.
That he would find that wonderful peace, that wonderful joy, where he could dance and rejoice because of all that you're doing in his life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for my kids here. What a precious joy it is to have my arms around them once again. Lord, I pray that the days ahead will be packed with fruitfulness. They have sown the seeds of preparation, and now they are going to reap the harvest.
Come on, that's right.
They're going to reap the harvest of the sacrifices that they have made. Bless James. Bless Yesenia. It hasn't all been hard. They've had some joys, too. It's wonderful children. Great church they've been a part of. All the good things that you've shown them. May it be a new day for them. Reignite the passion. Let the dunamis come forth in their life. In Jesus' name. Dunamis. Dunamis, dunamis. Explosive power. Explosive power. Explosive power. Yes, I don't want to miss 10. Thank you, Father. The man who's stood in the gap for all of us. Thank you for that service. But Lord, more than that, we think of his family. The one special daughter who lives with me. Thank you, Father, for the seed he's sown in his life.
Amen.
And it's
Amen.
Going to Amen. Bring forth a great harvest
yes,
through his
God.
Children.
Yes.
But Tim's work is not over. Tim has more power, more presence, more
That's
purpose
right.
to experience
right.
in his own
yes.
life. I'm asking you to release him into it, Lord.
Yes,
he
God.
And Vicky, Lord, that they might understand that this next half of their life is going to be more
yes,
beneficial.
That's right.
Than the previous half. More joyful. More fruitful.
Yes,
I speak into his life
right.
a new dimension of your grace. That he might fully experience what you've called him to. He and his sweet wife as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just pray for Rose in Jesus' name. She loves you, Lord. She's forgiven much. She loves much. We thank you for her. I pray that you would cause her to erupt like a volcano.
Yes, God.
And she just starts spilling love everywhere around her. In the name of Jesus.
Right.
She is a lover of people.
Right.
And I pray that she would let that love flow more purely, more strongly, with more effect than she ever has before.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Renew her day by day. Fill
yes,
her with
God.
Your Holy
That's
Spirit. Let the power of God be known in her hands. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen.
And she is one
Amen.
Who has compassion
Amen.
For the sick. And she needs to have your power flow through her.
Amen.
Healing power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So remove any impediments, any blockages, any reservation that you have chosen her to be your servant in the earth. And that your anointing will flow through her.
Yes, God.
According to your word, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray. For the blessing upon this life.
Yes, God.
The blessing of joy.
Yes, Lord.
The blessing of grace. The
yes,
blessing of forgiveness.
Right.
And the word is alive within her.
Amen.
She speaks it with authority and power. She sees it transform the lives of young women. The work of God is in her life. I pray for her today that you would bring her once again that confidence, boldness, strength to step out. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it.
In
Jesus' name. Say it. Thank you, Father, for this sweet family. How we love them. What a joy to put our arms around them today. Didn't think I'd get to see them. But Lord, I pray that you would just continue to build in their lives foundation stones of ministry, faithfulness. Pour out through Adrian and Allie all of the wonderful gifts that you've placed there. Let them have an effect in hundreds, yea, thousands of people. Bless these children, Lord, that they've produced. What joy they bring
yes, God.
To our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for your grace, which extends to us each one. We've received your grace, and we walk in your grace today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Love you. Love you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for my friends, Ken and Barbie. I pray for the strength of God to come into them as we claim the scripture as our years, so may our strength be. In the name of Jesus. They are father and mother, and they're loving people into the kingdom. Continue to bless them. Minister to their own families, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let your mercy and love be demonstrated.
Yes,
send
Lord.
People into their own children's and
yes,
grandchildren's
Lord.
Lives.
Yes, Lord God.
And let there be a witness of
yes,
the faithfulness
Father,
God. Of God because of this couple.
Thank you, Lord.
The story has not been written yet. The story is not over. God's faithfulness endures from generation to generation.
Amen. Thank
bless them
you,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 How are you? Glad to see you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, oh Lord. What a joy to see her again. Lord, I pray you minister power and grace, power, presence, purpose into this wonderful life. Thank you, Father, that she stayed true, stayed faithful, leading her children in the ways of God. Give her favor. Let her be blessed in her going out and her coming in. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I love these children in the Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I put my arms around them and say to them that I love them. I want to show them that I love them. And I'm asking you, Lord, today to do a deeper work. You've already done a lot for them, Lord. And they are so precious. But there's something more that you're asking. There's something more that you're asking of them. And they're still kind of hiding among the stuff, and they need to stop it.
That's right.
Still, you're still kind of hiding among the stuff, but there's a need to stop it. You need to get on with it. God's grace is flowing through your life. You have a story to tell. You have young women to influence. You have young women to influence. You are a sweetheart. You are a lover of people. And you have a story of God's grace that you can tell. I encourage you both to do that. Speak your experience. Tell your story. Give God the glory. I love you both. What a joy to see you today.
It was like a surprise.
I'm so glad.
We've been gone for a while, too.
I'm so glad to see you today.
Kids went to Bible camp, so we've been gone for a while.
Well, I'm so happy to see you.
Me too.
God bless you. Love you.
Sure.
Woo. Woo. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God.
Pastor Keith.
You want me to pray for you?
Sure, why not?
God, done a lot for Nick and Annette. Brought them a long ways through some difficult waters. They've stood. They've had a sense of your calling upon their life. They've had a sense of who you are and who they are in you. And they stand together as pillars in the house of the Lord. So I'm asking you now to give Nick that next level desire.
That's right.
That he would figure it out right here.
Yes,
that
God.
The eternal purpose of God is in his life.
Amen.
And that he is to be a witness to your goodness, your faithfulness,
Amen.
And your glory. He's just... young guy, Lord. He's just a young guy. And there's lots of years ahead to reap the harvest of faithfulness. His parents have taught him well. They, too, are lovers of people.
Yes, God.
And this whole family, Lord, has been through the rigors, the difficulties that I'm all too familiar with. But, Lord, what goes on here is not really that important. It's what goes on in the heavenlies that's important.
That's right.
And so, Lord, today we lift up our eyes into the hills from which comes our help. And we call out to our God who brings us to a higher place today. So we ask you to lift Nick up, increase his faith, bring him to a place. Lord, he's already done well in life. He's already accomplished much, but there is much more to do. And I pray you'd release his faith. And let him speak what's in his heart to the fullness of your glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love you, bud.
You too, man. Thank you.
I was hoping to see your folks today.
Okay, man.
Praise the Lord. Anything else, Pastor?
Your turn.
That's it.
Okay.
Well, praise God. Let's give the Lord thanks.
Hallelujah.
For what
Thank
he's
you,
doing
Lord.
In our lives.
Amen. Fresh anointing.
Thank you, Father.
I just want to tell you guys that I love you. I'm
thank
so
you,
thankful
Father.
That you guys
yes, thank you,
stand and you wait and you give honor to God to be able to move in others' lives. And you don't just, you know, ignore and get yours and then leave. I appreciate the fact that you're holding your faith and encouraging others as they're being prayed for. Know that God sees that and he honors that. I want to let you know again, Wednesday night, 5:30, Kissel Park, an amazing picnic. I will be doing pulled pork.
Thank you, Father.
It's kind of the old standby now. God bless you all. You have a great day.
Amen.
Love you.
Bill, I appreciate that.
My joy.
God bless you.